Good afternoon, lovely people. I have a special guest with me today. Now, the way what works is in what we are trying to create an impression. And last year I was invited to an award ceremony organized by Pat Slattery. And then at the award ceremony, out of nowhere, some Vikings came on the stage. They started the fight, and it was interactive. And like we didn't know what's going on and what's happening. So that was the way I've met Bren. At that time, he made an impact, an impression, a great impression. And I said, well, in one of the futures interview, I have to have him with me. So today, I have my special guest. Like he looks brilliant, like in his Viking costume. So, Bren, if you can just don't know, share a few things about you with us and with our audience.
Sure, Bogdan, and thanks very much for having me on your e-magazine. It was great to meet you that first night at Pat Slattery's event, and the Make It Happen event, the award ceremony. It was brilliant. And as I remember, I think one of Pat's entertainment ideas let him down, and he rang me and asked me, could I do something? And I wasn't sure what I was going to do because I'm also a traditional musician. So I thought maybe he wanted me to play some music. And he said, how about doing some Viking stuff? I went, okay. And so I brought one of my fight partners, Jimmy, with me. And we did, as you saw, that I think it was only about 4 or 5 minutes fight display for the show. And it went down very well. It was great fun to do, but I think everybody was shocked and surprised when they seen these two Vikings come from nowhere. All the Viking music in the background. Pat had arranged it very, very well, and he had the big screen with all the Viking scenes on it. And as I recall, the music was Valhalla Calling by Miracle of Sound. Absolutely brilliant, and yeah, it was great fun.
Yeah, like you've mentioned to me that like I know you do, you are an artist, and like you what I loved the most was when we were invited on the tour, the working tour in Dublin. And like I mean the history knowledge you have, like, for me, I have 17 years in Ireland, and it was one of the most impressive tours I've been in. And I loved the knowledge on history, on the Viking history, and like all the details. And you've also played in the Vikings movie. Now, how was that experience? Like from musician to acting and then to perform working tours. When do you have the time to do all the stuff like?
Oh, Bogdan, it's been a crazy journey. So in my professional life, before this, I was 16 years in the military, and then I was working as a private contractor in security. For the last, 15 years or so, I've worked overseas as a private contractor, professional bodyguard. And when COVID happened, the whole organization that I had been chief of security for closed down, as many places did, and I had to come back to Ireland. And I arrived into Ireland on the 15th of March 2020. And within a few weeks, I received an email saying that our contracts were finished, and that we were unemployed. And that's the first time technically I've been unemployed since I was about, I don't know, 14 years of age. I've never been on. I went from school to the military, and then from military to working for myself. as a private security contractor. I went back to college at night time. I took my degree in event management and public relations, and I took other degrees in security, risk, and threat analysis and risk management. So I've worked literally my whole adult life in either the military or in security and risk management and personal protection. And to come home then and find that I had no job and a very uncertain future because this was unprecedented. The country was closed down. It was a crazy time. And then I volunteered then for an emergency medical transport group called Blood Bikes East. And I did my advanced rider's test and I got certified with that. And so then I volunteered for this through the whole pandemic. But one night I was out on this Blood Bikes patrol and I met a friend of mine, Jimmy. And Jimmy worked 8 years on the History Channel series Vikings. And he was telling me that they were doing auditions for a new series, a spin-off called Vikings Valhalla. So I should do the audition because I've always looked like this. Not always the war paint, but certainly the hair, the beard, this look that I have. And it served me well overseas because I would work in some very dangerous places and in very dangerous communities all over Africa, all over the Middle East. And for some reason, looking different to everybody else, even the most scary people that you could possibly meet sort of saw me as something different. And it broke down barriers. So where a lot of people negotiated with guns, I negotiated with how I looked. And we it cre it helped create dialogue. And I think once you had dialogue, then we were able to get things sorted and fixed peaceably. So this look then helps me again because I meet Jimmy. He says they're looking for people that look like Vikings. And so I do an audition. I do it online because the studio was closed because of COVID. So meanwhile, I'm doing my blood bikes. I've done the audition. I don't hear anything else. And then one day I get a phone call. I'm asked, would I be interested in coming on the show, et cetera, et cetera. So I do. And I think around, what was that? Well, actually, around May of that year, May, June, we started to film. And I worked on that show for 3 seasons. So just
Wow.
about 2.5 years, 3 seasons on Vikings Valhalla. As a featured extra, you might call it. I was King Harald's bodyguard in season one and a little bit of season two. And I'm even in a bit of season three. So it was very, very interesting. I really, really enjoyed it. Unfortunately, halfway through season one, I discovered I had cancer.
Oh.
That was a shock, you can imagine. And there wasn't a whole lot I could do about it. In fact, I was told by the oncologist here that there wasn't anything they could do at that time because the hospitals were kind of closed except for COVID. He didn't know when treatment could begin. He said it could be 12 weeks, it could be 20 weeks. He said he didn't know. So I said, okay, fair enough. I contacted a friend of mine in America, a really, really close friend, and I was telling him the news. And he passed that information on to an old client of mine, a man from the States who I bodyguarded around the world. And that same day, I got a phone call. Bren, get a visa, come to America, and I'll help you with your treatment. And to be fair, he did. It took me 3 months to get a visa. I continued working, I continued filming, and we finished season one and started a little bit of season two. And then my visa came through. I went to the United States and I got state-of-the-art treatment, thanks to this man who paid for everything, in America. And I'm doing very well now. So it was an interesting journey, I can tell you. And when I came back from the States from my treatment, I didn't feel very well. It was severe radiation treatment, and it takes a lot from you. And then, but I went back on the show. They were so gracious. They were so helpful. They get me back some work, and I played some different characters then. And I continued. It meant I had some income coming in, and I continued from there on the show until we finished all the seasons.
Now, how, why did you move from, like, how did you switch from acting to perform Dublin tours, Dublin professional? From my perspective, it's a professional tour. Like, I mean, you
Oh, it
don't,
is. It's my job. Yeah, it's my
it
job.
is high quality. Like, the information was brilliant. Like, for me, as a Romanian, coming to Ireland, put it this way, I wouldn't know much about Vikings, only what I've seen on the shows or on different documentaries. And it was brilliant to hear all the information, all the history, and everything from, like, even from the tiles we walked by through Dublin. It was amazing. Like, I mean, and then it was a really, really good experience. So how did you switch from acting, and how did you decide to go from acting into professional Viking tours?
So it's a brilliant question, and it's kind of a complicated answer, but basically I'll keep it as brief as possible. So I've always had a huge passion for history, all history, all over the world. Right? An avid reader, anything to do with history. I loved Greek history, I loved Roman history, I loved the Central American, Aztec, Mayan, the Egyptians. All of these great people from the past, and of course our own Celtic and Gaelic history, and of course Viking and Norse history. And I've studied it for years since I was a kid, and I had a passion for it, and was so happy that I lived in a Viking city, you know, because Dublin is originally a Viking city. Now, without giving away my tour, because I want people to do my tour, basically Dublin's a Gaelic city. The Athaclea, and then the Vikings come in around the year 841 and create this great Dublin settlement, and that's all part of my tour. I'll go into all that on the tour. But how I got to that is interesting, because my situation is such is that even though I'm doing very, very well with the cancer, I still have cancer. And I can't get a medical cert that would clear me to get me my insurance to work as a private contractor for international security companies, bodyguard companies. It's very difficult. So the loading is too much. I couldn't afford it. So I had a problem where I needed to have enough money to pay my mortgage. But it's a pretty big mortgage, and the interest on it was crazy. So I said, I've got to do something that, you know, I can be self-employed to do, that I need to start a new business. But I didn't want to go back into security here. It's too much of a minefield and a headache. So what I actually did was I was doing some work down in my parents' little cottage in County Clare, and I was renovating it a little bit, you know. I mean, just when I say renovating, tidying up around the place and that, and because I had been lying derelict for so long. And I found a drawing, a sketch that was done of my mum and dad on their 50th anniversary. And I looked at it, and I cleaned it, and I hung it on the porch. And I looked at them one night. I was there in the house on my own, and I said, I've never asked you for anything. But I'm asking you now to give me something into my head that will help me get through this. You know, give me some idea, give me something. So that night, believe it or not, I had a mattress in front of the fireplace because I had stripped all the house had a lot of damp, and I was stripping down the walls to work on the damp problem. So I'm sleeping on a mattress in front of the fire. And as I'm sitting on the mattress in front of the fire with a cup of tea, I decided I would do a SWOT analysis on myself. And I set up a couple of these two books, two A4 books, and I started to write different things. And I come up with all my strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, threats, the whole thing. And I went through many, many, many different aspects of it. And then what it came down to in the end, I said, right, I'm going to gear this one to what I'd really like to do. The things that I'm good at, the things that I loved and enjoyed. And what kept coming up was history, Vikings, and tourism. That's what I ended up with. That was at the end of my SWOT. I'd gone through a few of them, but I decided I'm going to focus on not just what I'm good at, but what I would be happy doing. It's sort of a hypothetical future. What would be the best case scenario? What would I love to do and spend my last few years doing? So I come up with this. And of course, the problem was I had no money. I mean, broke. And in fact, in debt, in a lot of debt. That's why I was doing the house, because I have to sell my parents' house. So, having no capital to start, I had to think of what would this business look like? And then I thought about it. It was like, honest to God, it was like dynamite gone off in my brain. I went, oh my God, I have it. I have everything I need there. I have years of study in history. I live in city, 3 kilometers from the Vyke water. So even if I have no money for gas, have contacts in the costume world, I have contacts in the armory world, I have contacts in the movie world that I've established over the few years doing the show. And I reached out, I knew if I reached out to all these people that they would help me. And the few savings that I had left, I made a few phone calls and started to invest in my costume. I invested in the weapons, which are all from the show. And I was gifted a lot of stuff as well. Really, really lucky with some good people around me. And I put this tour together and I worked the tour in chronological order from the locations. And I did research by going on other walking tours to see how they conducted them. And honestly, some were great, some were terrible. Some of the history was shabby, and some was brilliant. And I went, okay. And then I brought my grandson to see how he would react to some of these tours, to see the ones he was interested in, to see the ones he wouldn't like. And so that was my market research, you might say. And then I've done some experimental tours with close friends and Viking friends, and they really, really liked it. So I think when I met you, Bogdan, when you guys did that tour, I wasn't doing them very long. And in fact, I'd love you to come on another one because the tour has evolved since then. And one of the first things I did was I signed up with the Arts Council and Dublin City Council to do the Culture Night. And that had only really started. I started in September, and then within a few weeks was the Culture Night. So I did two free tours for the Culture Night. And the feedback from that was amazing. And then it was a tough winter because I'm coming into winter at the end of the summer season, but I got a few tours under my belt and I started to develop the tour. And then I wanted to make it more interactive. So as I started to learn more, and I'm constantly studying, and as I studied more, as I learned more, I was able to adapt the tour. So the information was not only better, but I found better ways of delivering that information in a more interactive way. So I've incorporated acting into it and interacting into it and audience participation. So, and then if there's kids on the tour or even adults on the tour that want to have the face paint, want the war paint, want the blood, want the whole thing, they can have it. And I bring that and I supply that. If they want to have a Viking helmet, if they want a sword or an axe or whatever they want, I find out in advance, before they come on the tour, and I'll bring the equipment with me and they get to dress up. If they want to dress up themselves in their own costumes as Vikings, and I'll provide the war paint and do everything else. And so I even changed the name from Viking Legacy Trails to Viking Legacy Trails Experience. So it's a whole new experience. And it's a great experience. And I hate to look at my reviews. And somebody said to me, "You should look at your reviews, because on Viator and TripAdvisor, I've 100% 5-star reviews. And I think there's over 80 reviews, and they're all 5-star." And then I met this lady that was on the tour with her son. They had a kind of a VIP tour. I do private VIP tours as well. And because her son has autism and couldn't handle a crowd very well. So I can, if somebody lets me know that they have a child or even an adult with special needs, because I have a son with autism myself, I understand very well how that goes. So I'll try and do something privately. Sometimes I'll even go to their hotel, and we'll do it in the hotel. We can dress them up, and we can, because it's bad weather, or it's, the traffic terrifies them. So I can tailor the tour now, and that's just through experience, because believe me, I had no idea what I was doing when I started. So now it's evolved to a point where, oh, sorry, that business lady. So I met her. She enjoyed the tour. I didn't realize how serious a lady she was in terms of her business acumen, her knowledge, her education. She's an incredible lady, and she's a business coach as well. And she advised me. She said, "Do you use Google Business?" And I went, "No, I don't." She said, "Sign up to Google Business. It's free, and then you should do Google reviews." So I do Google reviews now, and it was only then doing Google reviews because she said, "When somebody does a review, you should acknowledge it and write back." I went, "Oh, I didn't know I could do that. This is all new to me, Bogdan, so I'm only learning every day." So I started to do that. When I started to read the reviews, I was shocked. I thought they were talking about somebody else. I'm going, they actually get that from this tour. And I learned from my reviews. Even though they were good 5-star reviews, I was thinking, "Oh wow, why didn't I do that? I could have done that." So I've started to incorporate and make the tour more, even more interactive and more interesting for the people. It was a 2-hour tour. Now it's taken 2.5 hours because of all this extra stuff. Depending, some people are not great on their feet, and I'm not going to rush them around the tour. So I've allowed a 2-hour gap between the two tours I do, 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. And that means that if somebody is, bad on their legs, or they're an older person and they need the time to get around, I'll work at their pace. It doesn't matter to me. Once I can get to my next tour at least 10 or 15 minutes beforehand, it's great. So yeah, so I learned from that. It was great advice. And I acknowledge the reviews now. And I set up an Instagram page. I'm on Facebook. I'm not very active with the Facebook. I have to learn to do better. Because of the nature of my business, my work, my life before this, I didn't do social media full stop. Now I've got to get used to being out there in the public with Instagram, with Facebook. I am developing a YouTube channel. I'm going to do a program every week on that, and biking, of course. And I'm about a third of a way through writing a Viking novel, and it's a book. It's a trilogy. And so I'm looking forward to that. I actually nearly have the third book finished in my head, so I know how the story is going. So yes, I have, my whole world has changed from bodyguard to acting to tour guide to writer, etc. But I have to say that a lot of inspiration and support has come from my very best friend, and he's like a brother to me, Pat Slattery. You know him from Pat Slattery International. And Pat's been a great mentor. And of course, my best friend, so I try to get it out of his head for free if I can. And that's why I was happy to do the gig. You know, there's nothing I wouldn't do for him and Donna. They're two incredible people. And myself and Pat are friends for many, 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 many years. And we worked some tough gigs together in security back in the day, and in some rough spots. And you know, he's authentic, he's genuine, he's the real deal when he stands up there. And for me, when he's talking about the things he talks about, I know, because I've seen his journey. You know, I've seen his journey and how he's got to where he is, and the information and the knowledge that he has. And so I appreciated that when he looked at my idea, and I told him, because I thought I was mad. I thought I was mad. And I thought, right, I'm gonna run this by Pat, because he's gonna probably think I'm mad as well. And he'll go, brother, that's, you know, are you mad? Like, you know, find some other way, you know, borrow the money for the insurance, do whatever you gotta do, you know, or set up yourself where you don't need it. And he didn't. He looked at it and he went, I think it's a great idea. I think it's brilliant. He said, I think it's gonna be a great success. There's nobody else doing it. And that was another thing when I looked at my own business model for the tour, that I knew that there was so much competition out there. There are so many walking tours in Dublin that I knew I had to find a niche, and I knew I had to find something that was totally different to everybody else. And so I'm not a yellow umbrella guide. I'm a Viking sword guide, and that's what people, you know, they don't have to look around and see where their guide is. They know, because I'm the only Viking. I'm the Dublin Viking. And that was my gimmick, if you want to call it. That's my trademark. I registered it, and Pat endorsed it. Pat said, 100%, Brent, this is going to work for you. And once he said that to me, I knew that that was the way forward, that this is what I was going to do. And I'm happy to say that it's becoming really, really successful. I will say that every now and again, I have to do some bodyguard work for that man who's paid for my cancer treatment. I would actually walk on broken glass if he called me to come and help him. So I did 20 days work in Africa there. I came back last Tuesday evening. I have had tours, two tours a day since last Tuesday. And I've just come straight from a tour to do the interview with you this evening. And then I've got to go on and meet some other Vikings in Bray when I finish here this evening as well. So, Bogdan, that's a long, long answer to your question, but it's been a crazy journey. It's been a great Viking voyage. And I feel like Leif Erikson on this voyage, to explore new worlds and new ideas and new experiences that I never experienced before, you know. And it's scary. And it's scary because I left a very private world where even my neighbors hardly knew who I was, didn't know what I did for a living. I was a polite hello, goodbye. I would disappear for months. I would come back, hello, goodbye, disappear for months. They didn't even know what I did for a living. No Instagram, no Facebook, no nothing. Very private, very secure person. To completely expose myself to the world internationally, not just locally. My neighbors see me going in and out now like this. They go, what the hell? I've some sort of a local Viking celebrity now at this stage. And everybody stops you on the street. They meet you, they say hello, they want photographs. And where best I can, I do that, because for me, it's more than a job now. I want to stress this. it's more than a way of earning a living. Like right now, I'm just about scraping through, and it's going to take some time. I know that. I've got to work nighttime doing deliveries. I was delivering meat during the day, if there was no tours on. But luckily, thank God, it's been very busy now since I came back, and from the start of the season, April, May, June, and but I had to supplement this. But now it's going very, very well. I kind of lost track of what I was saying there. But anyway, the bottom line is, it's oh yes, I had to come out from this very private person, this very secret squirrel, security guy, to suddenly I'm out there to the world. And I have to say, I'm enjoying the experience. It was scary. It was very, very difficult. And I won't lie, there was another aspect to it as well that I found almost, is going to sound crazy, but between the tours, I was standing there trying to sell photographs because I've no income. Like when I came back to Ireland after COVID for the COVID thing, I was told I wasn't entitled to the COVID payment. Because I worked overseas for so long, I was paying my taxes in Spain because I registered my company in Spain originally, in the Canary Islands in Lanzarote, Arrecife, where my office was. And I was actually paying a lot more taxes there even than I was paying here. But I wasn't entitled to social welfare. I'm still not. I can't get a medical card. I have no assistance whatsoever from the state. So every cent I earn, every time that somebody tips me, every photograph that I can sell or get a tip for is what I mean there. Like I do photographs for tips. When I started doing that, it was very humiliating. I was embarrassed and kind of almost felt ashamed. I felt like I was begging. And mentally, it was very difficult. And I was saying, I've come from the top. I mean, if this is a pyramid of private security contractors, bodyguards, my level of experience and the people I've bodyguarded and worked with over the years, I'm here at the top of that pyramid. And I've gone from the top of that pyramid in that profession to having to try and sell photographs of myself so I can get enough food for my dog and pay my mortgage and pay my bills. And some weeks were a struggle. And thanks to good friends, they've helped me through this, by lending me money, giving me money. I've sold just about everything that meant anything to me. But I knew and I know that at the end of this journey, this will be a very successful business. And the walking tours, it's just the toe in the water of where this is going. And I have a 5-year business plan drafted. And at the end of this 5 years, I know it will be successful. And I know because I sat down with Pat Slattery and I said to Pat, this is my vision, this is my goal, and this is how I hope to achieve it. What do you think? And Pat looked at it and Pat said, absolutely. And I've seen Pat's success stories. I've seen people that have struggled, almost lost their businesses, were on their last knees and they met him and he has mentored them and brought them through the worst of days where they're successful, where they're doing brilliantly, etc. So once he looked at that for me and told me the same thing, I absolutely believe. Now, honestly, it's not easy. My days are long. I do many, many hours during the day. Even to get ready in my costume takes almost an hour to prepare to go to work. And I got to bring my dog to the forest in the mornings to bring her for a run. And then I got to come home. I got to get myself into costume. And then you got to get yourself into character. Because like I said, it's a performance. It's not just out there walking around
Exactly, and like
and
exactly, and
oh,
like I
sorry.
mean, when we went into the tour, I loved it so much, even if it was one of the most ugly Irish days. If you remember, we were so
Oh,
tired.
brother.
I mean, and
It rained.
for us, it was even easier. Like we had an umbrella. You didn't have an umbrella. And then I really loved the way you delivered. Like it didn't matter if it was lashing rain. It didn't matter if like you were wet. You were sacked wet, not wet. And then
So
you delivered the exactly the look. It was amazing. Now I just mentioned to you that a few days ago. I went with a team of kids in Spain, in Madrid. There it was the international Alojamiento Rítmico International Competition, over 600 students coming from all over the world. And we went to represent Ireland with those 8 kids. And then
nice.
while we were, after the competition, we went for a drink and to celebrate good results they had. And then while we were talking, I said to them, look, I went in one of the best tours in Dublin, and I want to organize a tour for you. Now, it's still the holidays period when people are in and out, so we'll make some arrangements with you for a Sunday.
You'd be very welcome, brother.
I want to bring those kids to see something different. Like the tour, it was amazing the way it was when we've met you and when we went. If you improve it, it's even better. We are going to get even more quality and more value from your knowledge and from all your skills. But what I wanted to ask is, you already mentioned it. I know the biggest challenge is when you have to switch career. By profession, I am a psychologist. I have a master's degree in psychology. But then I came to Ireland. I worked constructions. I worked in a waste company. I had to change my career into and like when you you know when you said about feelings, when you spoke about feelings, I totally understand everything. Like I could be in Romania a well-known psychologist, but I choose not. And because I choose not, I've ended to work in my friend's waste company on a picking line. It's a job somebody has to do it. Don't understand me wrong, but it was not for me. And when something is not for you, I know how it hurts. And that feeling, it breaks you down, and then you need to change your mindset, and you need to reprogram yourself, and you need to go through all those stages. Now, I know you already mentioned it, but what advice would you give to a person who will go through the same, well, not the same, but on similar situations with the situations you've been through? Like I really loved all the processes you've mentioned, and the way you went through going your swap analysis and finding what will bring the best out of you. So what advice would you give to someone who will go through the same challenges you've been through?
Well, I think I should have mentioned before that when I left the military and I set up a security company here in Ireland, it was an incredibly successful company. It turned into a group of companies. And all right through the Celtic Tiger, I was effectively a millionaire. I was very wealthy. And thankfully, perhaps because of my parents and my own nature, I managed to remain humble through that. So when 2009 came, Bogdan, the crash came, I literally lost everything overnight. I mean, everything. I don't know how I held on to my house. And to make things worse, I had to hold on to my mum's house because my mum was still alive, and I had bought the house from my mum after my dad died, so she had some income, independent income. I still looked after her, but she had her own money. And that's why I ended up going back overseas, basically. So that was very, very difficult. It was a difficult year to nearly 2 years. And then, but I was still in the same profession. And I knew once I went back overseas that I'd do okay. And I did very well. So then, to go fast forward then from doing so well to crashing again the second time. But the second time I'm much older. And I didn't have that same energy that I had. Like I'll be 62 in a few weeks and sometime in August. And when I struggled, I struggled. The reason I told you that was because the struggle wasn't just about the transition. The struggle was why? It was out of necessity. I had to do something. But I decided that that something had to be something because I've a limited amount of time left. We all have limited time. Now, I'm not being morbid, but the reality is I have limited time. And I said, I want to do something that I will enjoy, that I will love, that will earn me money, but that some good can come from. And the good that's come from it is that's helped me, what's helped me in that transition to those dark days, what helped me stand there in the rain, what helps me stand there while tourists are taking pictures of me for 2 and 3 euros. When I was feeling humiliated and embarrassed and ashamed almost of where I was, you were right about the mental, how you that mindset, because I was going into a dark place for the first few weeks. I was standing there going, oh my God, like I've made an awful mistake. What was I thinking? God, I hope I don't meet somebody I know. I seen myself as a beggar almost. Right? Now this was in between the tours. This is selling for, but I had to. I had no money. And when I wasn't getting some driving work, that was it. Like this was the only income I had. So, but what I did was I changed my whole mindset and I went, you're a performer. You're a street performer. You've worked at acting. I went God, I can't think of the name of the theater now. The Lear Theater Group. I did stage combat with them. I did some acting courses with them. I did, and that was through Trinity College, and all sorts of things. And I went, hold on, you're a performer, and your performance is bringing joy to people. Because they were really, really happy to get their picture taken with a Viking. And I was thinking about it the wrong way. I wasn't looking at it through their eyes. I was looking at it how I was feeling. And it didn't matter how I was feeling. I had made the decision to do what I was doing. And so it was all in my head. Because when I looked at them and I was going, they're so happy to have a picture taken with a Viking. And I went, well, I'm the only one that does it. So maybe it's really unusual. And it was really unusual. So when I started to think that way, when I started to think differently, that it was more than just a job, that I was bringing happiness to people. And that brought happiness to me. So I started feeling better inside. And then I looked forward to doing it. Now, it's hard to make money from the people doing the photographs because most people don't, they tell you they've no cash. And then I got the QR codes for Revolut, and I got the QR code for Stripe, and I put them on the inside of my shield so people could scan them. And they don't scan me, they scam me, because I don't think I've ever got anything through them doing it. They pretend. And then I noticed that most of the coins I get are not even Irish. They are euros, they're foreign coins. But I go, what the hell? Let's just do it anyway. It makes people happy, and it gets me advertising. It puts me out there. People are talking about me. And even sometimes, on the rare occasion I'm in the city, not in my Viking costume, people have come up to me and go, oh, are you the Viking? You're the Viking. And I go, yeah, I'm the Viking, because I know it must be me they're talking about, It's really funny. But once I changed how I thought about it, that I was the problem, my own mind was the problem, and that people didn't see me as a beggar. They didn't see me as some guy who'd lost his career and was now at the bottom of the barrel and was trying to come up with some idea to get out of there. They saw me as the Viking. They see me as a performer, and they see me as a tour guide historian that does something really different to everybody else. And now I stand there and I'm proud of who I am. I'm proud of what I've managed to achieve to date. And I'm blessed, like I said, with good friends, and I'm blessed that that humility, that when I was very, very wealthy, I helped people with my money. And Pat Slattery will tell you that I looked after everybody that worked for me, anyone that was in trouble. In fact, if I hadn't given so much money away, I probably wouldn't be in the trouble I'm in today. But the thing is that where that came back in a good way, where that good karma came back, was that there's nobody coming up and laughing, going, you deserve this. That's karma, because you were such a bad person when you had money, and I wasn't. And so that's made it easier for me, for sure. But in terms of that transition from that change of profession, from going from the professional bodyguard, which I still am technically, I could. There's still a few clients there that don't care about insurance. They're wealthy enough not to care, that would have me with them. But honestly, I've never felt more happy than I do what I'm doing right now. Because, like I said, it's more than just a job. When I read the reviews, when I meet somebody like you that says, oh, I've lived in Ireland for all those years and I didn't know this, or I didn't know that, I didn't realize that. What's even better, Bogdan, is when I have Irish people on my tour, Dublin people on my tour, that say, I've walked past here for the last 50 years and didn't realize that. I didn't know that happened there. I didn't know this was under my feet. I didn't know this. And they walk away enlightened and educated, if you want to say, but they walk away with a greater sense of pride of their city, and a deeper knowledge of themselves and who they are and where they came from. And for me, that's a great feeling. That makes standing there having those photographs taken, I feel that that's not begging anymore. It's part of my job. It's part of my mission to help people realize who we are, this great city of Dublin, where it came from, how it started, the great characters involved in it, right through. I cover about 1200 years of history, as you know, in about 2.5 hours. It's an overview. And then, say, my afternoon tour, where I have a bit more time and they have more questions, I'm happy to go for a cup of tea, because I drink tea anywhere. And if they want to get me a cup of tea, we'll sit down and I'll go into more detail with them for nearly an hour if they want to do that. I'm quite happy to do that. So it's a mindset. And once you flick that switch and decide this is it. It's like you said, you worked on this line, picking out, recycling or whatever you had to do. You're a psychologist. You have a master's degree in that. I'm the top of my game as a professional bodyguard. The top. I can't go higher than I went. If you only knew, and I don't want to discuss the clients that I had, but if you only knew the clients I've worked with over the years. But it doesn't mean anything now. It means nothing. It's good memories. It was a great career. I did well from it. What I'm doing now is different. And once I changed my mindset, once I embraced the new me, once I embraced the new idea, I got over all of that, and it doesn't matter anymore. I'm happy. I know that in another 4 years or so, this will be a great career. Now I'm going to be a bit older, but the great thing about it is that it doesn't matter. Once I can keep my health, it doesn't matter about getting older. I'll just be an old Viking, and people will like it even more probably,
I have we unfortunately have only 10 minutes left from the interview, and I
Okay,
have
bro.
three important questions for you.
Well,
And one, you kind of started to touch it, and it is in regards of the legacy. When you look forward, and I know, like you've mentioned it about the time, we all have limited time. In this limited time you have left, what legacy do you want to leave behind?
that's a great question. And ironically, my business is Viking Legacy Trails, and it is all about legacy. And the bottom line is in 140 years, we'll just say 140 years, no one is going to remember who we are. Somebody else is going to be living in that house that we worked so hard for. Somebody else is going to be driving the car that you've busted yourself trying to pay for, etc. So when you think about the people and legacy, there are people who have written books. They've done, they're famous for whatever reason they're famous. They've done something. I want my legacy to be, that people can read a book that I've written and look back or go, that was the Dublin Viking. I want my children, I want my grandchildren, I want my great grandchildren, my great great grandchildren to be able to read about me somewhere and go, my great 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 grandfather was this character. He did this, he did that, he did the other. And I want them to have that knowledge that I try to impart. In fact, my kids do. I'm blessed, and my grandkids. In fact, my grandson, one of my two grandsons, well, the other fellow's only a baby. Adam is about, he's 10 now. He's an avid reader and loves history, loves it, and loves to talk about Viking history and Irish history, and indeed European history, global history. He just loves it. He loves the Irish language. He's brilliant at maths. I'm not great at maths. That's one legacy I won't be leaving behind. But he, yeah, so that, like, already there's some legacy there that this little 10-year-old has shares my passion, and I'm able to pass that on to him, and hopefully he'll embrace that when he gets older. Not that he's going to walk around Dublin dressed as a Viking, but he can pass it on to somebody else, and then hopefully they'll be able to go to my book for reference. And although it's a fantasy book, it's not a it's a Viking book, but not based on, real characters, the fantasy characters, but it's based on real Viking culture, but hopefully he can do that. So I'm hoping that that legacy will be there, and then, like I said, from my previous career, they all know the people I've looked after. They've seen the photographs and seen me on the TV and doing stuff like that. I guess that's it. I mean, that would be my legacy to them. I hope they're not waiting for some other legacy in my will because I don't have anything. Maybe in 5 years,
Not
it might be
yet.
worth something.
That was the next question. Where do you see Vikings legacy tours experience in 5 years?
I see it as a thriving tourist business focused on Viking and medieval Ireland. And I don't want to give away my plot, as they say,
No.
because, you know, there's a lot of people out there that don't have original ideas, and they basically steal ideas, or they take your idea that's on the slow burner because you haven't got the resources to make it happen faster. But they have the resources, but they don't have the ideas, and then they capture that and they go forward with it. But this, in 5 years' time, will be a successful business. God sparing me, if I manage to keep my health and I keep going with it, it will be a good legacy business. And hopefully, Adam or one of my other grandchildren, would come into that business, perhaps. Or my daughter, for example, my daughter, who's an incredible, incredible girl. She's a mother of two kids. She's been a nurse working in multiple sclerosis environment privately for patients for years. She went back to college 2 years ago, part-time, taking on a business or marketing degree. She's getting her diploma this year. She's got 2 years left for her degree. She delivers Chinese food at night time. She's just a dynamic individual. I could see her taking this over as a legacy business. And I'd love her to do it because she's got a great mind. She's got great marketing ideas. And so there's some legacy as well. A legacy business in 5 years that I can pass on down the line and turn into a family business.
And the last one, thank you. And then the last one, I would love to end this interview with a funny story. Can you share a funny story? Well, put it this way. I don't know. Maybe something something that relates with your Viking business. Something that was so funny or put you in a well, in an embarrassing situation, but from a funny perspective, put it this way. Do you have a story like that to share? And this would be the last thing I'm asking.
I've a lot of funny Viking stories to share, but I think recently one of the funniest, right? So, but it's embarrassing. But what happened was, the Arlington Hotel have a show called Celtic Nights, and they headhunted me to do a few nights as the Viking on the show. So I do Friday, Saturday, Sunday between 7 and 8 on the show now. And I do it on stage. And it's a mixture of, because I told you I'm a traditional musician. So it's a mixture of songs, playing music, telling stories, interacting with the crowd. It's kind of a warm-up event. And I was on the stage, and the way the seats are set in front of the stage, the people sitting are at eye level with the stage, and I had the microphone, and I went, this lady asked me something, and I went down with the microphone to talk to her, and I'm in my costume, of course, my war paint, I look very serious, and as I squatted down to talk to her, my trousers completely split in the middle. I mean, they ripped. You could hear the rip on the microphone. And luckily for me, I was wearing my motorcycle leggings under my Viking trousers. In front of 300 people, I was exposed to the world. And it was hilarious. And she got a great laugh out of it. And I managed to make a joke out of it and get a fly. I couldn't crouch down for the rest of the show. That's one of many. There isn't a day goes by that something silly or funny happens on the tours or or at the show or that, but it's good fun. And I don't, most importantly, I don't take myself too seriously. This is fun. It's interactive. It's I'm enjoying it, and I'm doing it for fun. And I want people to get the most out of it that they can. And I want to get the most out of it as I can. Now, don't get me wrong. There are days I go in and I'm exhausted. I do about 27,000 steps a day
Wow.
and I'm exhausted and I don't feel well or I don't feel good or my system is down. But the second you meet your clients, as you said, it's a mindset. You've got to switch that switch. And look like it's the happiest day of your life. You've got to look like they're your only clients in the world. And that's true of all business. In all business, in service business, where we're service providers. And service providers, your clients should feel that they're the only client you have. You can have 500 clients, but when you're dealing with that client, they should feel like absolute VIPs. And I want all my clients on every tour to feel like VIPs. I try to learn their names. I try to learn what is their interest in our history. Is it why do they like Vikings? And a lot of the times because they've seen the Viking show, they don't even know that Dublin's a Viking city and they're curious and they Google and then I pop up somewhere. So I engage with them on that level. I find their interests. I find out where they're from and then I use that information to make their experience better. And that should happen in all business. We should get to know our clients. We should get to understand who they are, what they are, know their journey, how they got there, so we can take that experience and make it better for them as service providers. And I think that's a key to success as well. And that's something that I do my very, very best to do. And it's a mindset and it's a switch. And no matter what bad day you're having, your bad day is not their fault. Your bad day is not their problem. That's not what they've paid for. They've paid for your best day. They've paid for your best performance. And that's what they're entitled to. And that's what I try to give them.
Thank you, Bren.
I hope
It
that
was
answers the question.
oh, much more than I was expecting. Like you already touched the values and motivation, and oh, Jesus! Like you went through everything. I didn't have to ask anything.
It's hard to shut me up when I get started, Bogdan.
I just want to say thank you. Thank you for what you are doing. It's a unique experience. Thank you for taking your time and come over to meet me to have this interview. I hope you are not going to stop soon. I would love, and I will definitely recommend, like I'm already recommending you to anyone I know. Because sometimes I have friends coming to Ireland or I have business meetings and people are asking me, what would you suggest? And I have a list of three things. And to be honest with you, it is between the visiting the Titanic Museum and taking the Vikings tour, because it is a unique and full of value experience. Like, I mean, for someone, I've experienced it, I've seen the value, it is beautiful, it was amazing, and I want people to feel and to get the same emotion I've got when I went in the tour with you. So
Thank you.
I thank you very, very much for what you are doing. It is unique. It is unique. Like even if you Google it and you've mentioned the lady that advised you to register with Google, like if you type in Viking tours, you won't find it. I hope it will show up, because the only thing that's
Awesome.
coming up are the booths, the booth things.
The Viking splash tours, which
Yeah.
is great fun as well. Now, I have to say, not really true Viking as we. As I talk about real history of Viking history, but it's great fun. I've done it several times. I know one of the directors in there, Joe, he's absolutely brilliant. And another great business success story taken from the brink of disaster to 80,000 customers a year.
Wow.
Incredible. A great story. And maybe if you wanted to interview him one of the days, I'll introduce you. and a great business story as well. In fact, Pat Slattery knows him very well from back in the old security days where he was involved with security as well. And I should mention that as part of an expansion of the tours as well, anyone that needs a Viking for promotion, I do a lot of promotional work as well. We do a lot of educational stuff, and I hope to bring it to schools, to communities, where we bring the equipment, where some of my Viking friends will come in costume as well, the guys and the girls, how they dressed in the time. We can talk about the food, we can talk about the lifestyle, we can talk about the warriors, the weapons that were used, but also everyday life and the everyday life of the Viking and the everyday life of the Dublin Viking, how that would have been at that time. So we can bring that experience to locations as well, to community centres, to your own community centre here in Tala, and wherever people want that. But it's a work in progress. You know, I'm developing that as I'm trying to get the tour sorted. I'm fine-tuning all the time. In fact, Bogdan, I would love you to bring, with my compliments, bring your group here on the tour. And I think you'll see, I'd love you to see how it's evolved from that very, very, very rainy day in Dublin to where I am with the tour now. I think you'll see, I hope you'll see a significant improvement and an even more enjoyable experience.
I would love to.
Great.
Guys,
And thank you very much for having me on
no
your
problem.
program. It's brilliant.
It was
We
a
appreciate
pleasure.
it.
It was a real, real it was a real pleasure. I was hunting now for our audience, just to let you know, I was hunting Brian for a long time, and I am so glad it happened. So I think we are going to end our interview here.
Okay.
Thank you very, very much again, and I will probably see you on the next tour. For
Absolutely. I hope so. I hope so, Bob. Thank you. And the best of luck and the best success with your many programs that I'm only learning about today. Incredible what you're doing here as well with these guys. Just brilliant. You're an amazing character yourself. You should get somebody to interview you one of the days. Maybe I'll come in as the Viking and interview Bogdan and your great story. I think it could definitely be very interesting for the magazine.
That would be something interesting. Unfortunately, I can't interview myself, you know.
No, that's what I mean, yeah.
Okay. Thank you very, very much. I don't know who is going to be our next. And by the way, Brain is going to be on the cover. I'm looking forward for this cover of the magazine. It's going to be amazing. I don't know who is going to be. Actually, I know who is going to be the next cover page, and the next cover page is going to be Pat Slattery. He helped me a lot in my journey. He's an amazing man. He has great value and too much knowledge. So I'm looking for the interview with him. By then, until then, guys, just keep safe, stay healthy, take care of yourselves, and see you again on the next one.
Thank you, Bogdan. Take care, brother. Bye-bye.